Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Bill Buckmaster Show, Tucson's most trusted voice for news and information. I'm Ben Bueller Garcia, normally the host of American Warrior Radio here at noon, here on Saturdays on KVOI. I'm sitting in for Bill in the Green Thing Socolo Village Studios. If you'd like to interact with us, give us a call on the Buckmaster Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. That number is 790-2040. You may or may not be aware, but this week is National Police Week. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Sherry Graham Potter will be calling in from the National Police Week activities in our nation's capital. But first, we're joined by the Buckmaster Show financial advisor, Shelley Fishman.
Shelley Fishman is a financial advisor and business consultant in Tucson, Arizona. Contact Shelley via buckmastershow.com or directly via email at saf824@earthlink.net.
Hey, Shelley, BBG here.
Hey, Ben.
I tell you what.
I can hear you. Can you hear me okay?
We hear you just fine. You are the epitome of a team player. You wanted to inform the Buckmaster Show listeners so much about financial situations globally. You're goofing off in Italy. I'm sorry. You're on assignment in Italy.
You know, when the announcement said that I'm you know, in Tucson, Arizona, I seem like I've been away so long I don't even remember what it's like in Tucson, Arizona.
It's hot.
Tonight's the last night in Italy. We're in Padua, or Padova, as the Italians say, and they're getting on a plane for home tomorrow.
Now, I'm not familiar with Italy's geography. Give me, where is that next to someplace I'd recognize?
Well, it's in the north of Italy, and if you were to look at a map, you'd see Venice on the east coast, northeast coast, and we're about 50 kilometers to the southwest of Venice.
Okay. Well, I hope you're enjoying your trip and wish you a safe journey back. I really want to get back on and talk to you again, Shelley, because I'm getting dizzy trying to figure out the real financial state of our nation. I mean, inflation's up. No, it's going down. It's terrible. No, it's not so bad. New job figures look great. And then 2 months later, they're revised down. All I know is I wouldn't be surprised if I start to see payday loan officers setting up shop in my local grocery store. So what is there something accurate or predictable that we can point at or consider?
Well, you know, any given statistic that you get, you know, on a Thursday or a Friday or whatever, that's a kind of a click off from the prior month's, you know, similar measurement is really just an approximation, because very often what the information organizations do is they'll take, for instance, the first 2 weeks in a month and extrapolate the rest of the month from those first 2 weeks, and then come back a month later and revise it once they have the real data. So what I can say is that the economy looks very strong, has looked strong for several years now. What we're seeing is, you know, 0.1% changes, you know, from month to month, sometimes in the right direction, sometimes in the wrong direction. Sometimes we get numbers that are higher than what the experts or the economists are predicting. Sometimes they're a little bit lower. What we can say over the past couple of months is that the downward trend in inflation seems to have stalled. And while toward the beginning of the year, we were thinking that the Fed was going to reduce interest rates, you know, kind of declare victory and reduce interest rates maybe three times this year, we're now thinking that number is maybe twice and maybe only once, and that it won't be in this first half of the year. And that was confirmed early today, I believe, by a speech made here in Europe in Amsterdam by the Fed chair, Powell. And what Jay Powell said was he was a little alarmed at some of these downward clicks, and that was going to probably result in his being a little more conservative in terms of taking his foot off the pedal, if you will, in trying to slow down the economy. He's going to let it go at this pace for a while. Last week, the markets were very optimistic. And we had a great day on Friday. We're at or near the record rates in most of the indices. Yesterday, the markets pulled back a little bit because of the numbers that came out on Thursday and Friday. And today they're up again. So, you know, the market is still betting on success. And I believe and have continued to believe that this economy, because of the employment picture, largely, and because of the way consumers are spending, that this is a very healthy economy, and recession just is not in the picture for a while.
So, to me, the markets, you're the professional, I'm not. The markets remind me of kind of a skittish pony we had on the farm once upon a time. Do you see things getting even more squirrely the closer we get to the election?
No. Okay. Historically, what happens is things get a little flat before an election, and then regardless of who wins, the markets go up from November through the end of the year. That's very hard to explain, but what happens is that the judgment of the American people is normally thought to be generally in the right direction. We have markets today at rates, you know, that we used to talk about. Is it possible to get a 30,000 Dow? And we're very close to 40,000 now. So what the markets are saying is that they appreciate the fact that the Fed is doing what it has to do. They would like to see interest rates come down, especially in certain industry segments like housing. And large purchases like cars and major appliances, because that makes it easier for the public to buy those things. But in the absence of those, you know, rates coming down, they're looking at consumers and they're still seeing an awful lot of purchasing. They're looking at house construction and they're still seeing a lot of house construction. And you know, where auto sales, both used and new auto sales, kind of fluctuate up and down a little bit, they're still at very close to record highs. So what we're seeing is that while Jay Powell and his gang are very concerned that they can bring inflation down to their target of 2%, the American public doesn't appear to be all that concerned now in a macro sense. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I say, Shelley, I think that part of it has to do with, you know, we had such a lack, when it comes to automobiles, for example, you had such a lack of inventory during the COVID. And now I think that, you know, there's inventory back on the lots again and people. But I'm kind of curious, how much of this consumer spending do you think is driven by an actual high level of confidence versus just the basic math? I'm now having to spend $3 for a dozen eggs. So I don't want to do that, but I have to do that. So it's not that I'm more optimistic, it's just that prices are so high, I'm just naturally spending more money as an individual.
That's a great point, but I'm going to have to, put a pin in that balloon. When the consumer spending numbers come out, they're adjusted for inflation.
Ah, okay.
Now, that said, again, they're adjusted for inflation in a macro sense overall. If you're buying a dozen eggs, that's not adjusted for inflation. That's only partially adjusted because the rate of price increases in things like eggs and some other things on the market, especially in foodstuffs, was higher than the overall rate of inflation. So depending upon your position, the things that you buy all the time because they're the things you need to buy, you might feel that, you know, inflation has outpaced wage gains. In other cases, you might feel that wage gains have outpaced inflation. Again, if you take a look at the overall macro numbers, for the past 2 years, wage gains have outpaced inflation. But if you're one of those people, say, in the lower 30 or 35% of earners, you don't necessarily feel that.
Yeah, so it's mostly among the management types.
Yes, it is among the management, but you know, that said, I have to caveat it a little bit because the largest wage gains have been in those areas where there was a lot of turnover as a result of the pandemic, And so we saw a lot of that in the service industries, which are clearly not management.
Okay, Shelley, I tell you, when we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit about something that a lot of us hear about but don't necessarily understand, the GDP or the gross domestic product. Ladies and gentlemen, Ben Buehler-Garcia sitting in for Bill Buckmaster here on 1030 The Voice. If you'd like to interact, give us a call, 790-2040. We'll be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, ladies and gentlemen. Ben Buehler-Garcia, very privileged to be sitting in for Bill here today. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Mona's Danish Bakery on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's has been producing delicious pastries for over 20 years. Now, Mona's is open for breakfast and lunch also from 6:30 to 2 p.m. Why not contribute to our local GDP and swing by tomorrow and get yourself one of their famous Danish Kringles, or maybe be the office hero and pick up some pastries for your staff. Check out their offerings at monasdanishbakery.com, or you can also find the link at buckmastershow.com. We're talking with Buckmaster Show financial advisor Shelley Fishman, calling in all the way from Italy. Shelley, I don't know if you'll find it in your heart to forgive me, but my macroeconomic class at the U of A was taught by a visiting professor from the University of Arkansas, and I swear we needed a translator because I couldn't understand half the English this guy was saying. So explain gross domestic product to us in a way that BBG can understand.
Okay, so gross domestic product is the sum of everything that gets bought in goods and services over a period of time. It's measured monthly, but we normally view it in terms of the annual result. So When you put all of that together, you get a gross national product, which today, and I'm quoting off the top of my head, I should never do this, it's about $22 trillion a year. What we look for is a growth year over year that is going to be in the area north of 2%. Hmm. And most economists, especially in the past century, have believed that for a free market system to be operating healthily, that number has to grow every year. If it's not growing, then something is wrong, and we've come to take that for granted, Ben. And I scratch my head and I ask myself, well, why is that so? If the population isn't growing, we know it is growing a little bit, but if the population weren't growing and GDP were at a number that the rest of everybody in the economy were kind of enjoying some sense of security and prosperity, why does it have to grow? And, the reasons for that are, number one, that the growth every year, that number, whatever it is, 2%, 2.5%, 3%, we've had gross domestic product growth in the 4s and 5s. You have to look at where that cash goes. And in some cases, it gets distributed across the economy with some sense of evenness. In other cases, it doesn't. And what we've seen, again, statistically, and so you may or may not feel this personally, but we've seen statistically over the past 40 years or so, is that the growth in domestic product has flowed up to the top 10% of American earners, American families. That means that all that growth is going to the people who theoretically don't need it the most, and that the people who do need it, those who are middle class or not yet into the middle class, I have not felt the benefits of that growth. And that's the problem. So it's not just that the economy has to grow, it's that within the economy, that growth has to be distributed in a way that makes sense for everybody, along the spectrum.
Sure.
Does that make any sense?
No, it does. And I actually checked the Bureau of Economic Analysis this morning. Fourth quarter of last year, we were at 3.4% GDP growth. Their advanced estimate for the first quarter is 1.6, which still ain't bad. So is that... I guess that you answer my question is that if I'm looking for a true barometer of where we are economically in this nation, the GDP is something to look at, but not necessarily for everyone.
That's exactly correct. You're right, that you actually put your finger right on the issue. So the last quarter of last year was a phenomenally high growth. Especially coming out of, a pandemic, it surprised everybody and nobody thought we could keep that up. The first quarter of this year surprised everybody in the other direction. Mm. And that's why I say from, period of measurement to period of measurement, you can't really get a sense of what's going on. You have to look at a longer period of time. I think right now the general wisdom is thinking that growth in 2024 will be somewhere in the 2.5 to 3% range, at 3% at the high end, 2.5 or 2.2, 2.3% at the low end. Statistically, that would be right where we've been for the past 20 years. The highest growth we've seen in the past half century was during the Clinton administration, and some of the lowest growth we've seen was in the following administration, in the second Bush administration.
Shelley, I tell you, one thing that's got me concerned is I'm worried about whether that growth is being fueled by debt spending, and if we're setting ourselves up for a hard landing somewhere down the road here.
Oh, gosh. There is a problem with credit card debt, mm-hmm. and its level, but it is not, even though that spending has increased and is alarming to some economists, when you take a look at it as a percentage of total growth, it's a rounding error. The problem is you're very right to say something we have to keep an eye on, but the growth in spending is real. It's not just either inflation, because GDP is always adjusted for inflation, but this is real growth. This is the number of widgets that come out of the factory, mm-hmm. and the number of hours that come out of service industries. So it's very real. Some of it is being fueled clearly by credit card debt, but it's not enough to really affect the overall strength of the economy.
And if people's confidence is up and they've got their income is up, I mean, if the Fed reduces rates, why would they not just spend more?
Well, they will.
Okay.
Hopefully some of the credit card debt will get paid off.
Yeah.
But, it's interesting you bring that up. There's an article in today's New York Times by Ben Castleman and Gina Smalek that talks about high interest rates and how those high interest rates are affecting poorer Americans and affecting them the hardest. And this is what I've been, Bill and I have been talking about this for months. I understand why the Fed wants to keep interest rates where they are, because they're worried about inflation. But the effect of having high interest rates has an uneven effect across the economy, not only across industries like housing and automobiles, but also how it affects people who are just subject to the interest rates that they deal with every day, whether it be credit card interest or other interest that floats along with where the Fed rates go. So it's a very interesting article to read, because it points out again that we can have a macroeconomic indicator that looks good and says the economy is strong and wage increases are outpacing inflation, but then there's a whole large chunk of Americans who just aren't feeling that.
We've only got
feeling it because it's their reality.
We've only got about 4 minutes left. We have to take a break, Shelley. So I'm glad you brought that up, because people can't spend money if they're not employed. And the March unemployment figures were at 3.8%. It's been in that 3.7-3.9% range for the last 12 months or so. Now, to me, one of the bright lights there is one of the biggest growth sectors has been in the construction industry, which I think is a good sign for helping address the housing affordability crisis, as long as the interest rates cooperate. Although I know there's some builders here locally that are building downsized product to make it more affordable, and they're even buying down some of the mortgage rates. So what should we be looking for, good or bad, here in the next couple of quarters leading up to the election?
Well, if we're taking a look at employment rates and unemployment rates, we have to keep in mind that anything below 4% is still at record high levels. That is record employment levels, record low levels of unemployment. Mm-hmm. Now, even though, we've had a couple of clicks up in the past couple of months, to have an unemployment rate under 4% and keep it there month after month after month is really good news. So unless that stays where it is and we see a constant uptick, that doesn't bother me.
What does bother you?
Well, if we go for a couple of months and that keeps on clicking up 1 or 2/10 of a percent, and we can't explain it, then we have what I call a fundamental problem, and we're going to have to address that. But right now, we're very close to full employment, and it's not of any concern. To give you an idea, Britain, which just announced, I think yesterday, that their unemployment rate was 4.7%, and they're beginning to get worried.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm just hoping that the market participation rate is and that's a whole nother conversation, Shelley, about how some of the young folks out there now, they get their college degree and they want to be vice president of the corporation in 2 weeks, and that's just not the way it works in the real world. So hopefully they're not dropping out of the labor force.
Ben, that is such an important question. What's happening to the current generation of kids, coming of age? especially young men who are, you know, not getting married, not having kids, not getting into the kind of career paths that you and I would have found attractive. You know, we get people who want to be CEOs of their, you know, their newly formed companies from day one. I don't know what the statistics are on that, but I know that it's beginning to worry a lot of smart people.
Yeah, it's disconcerting for me, particularly given what I do in my day job. And some of my clients are, you know, very much involved in the home building industry. And I've always been a big advocate for the trade, Shelley. Not, you know, college is not for everyone. And right now they're hurting for skilled labor. And so I tell you what, every time I write a big old fat check to a plumber coming to my 100-year-old house, I'm thinking, you know, maybe I should have taken a different path in life. But we'll see. Shelley, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us. Have a safe. What, real quick, what do you like most there? Is it the people, the food, the locations, all the above?
Yes.
good answer.
It's been a great trip. I've learned a lot. I've seen a lot. I've spoken with a lot of people. My Italian's getting better. It just is incredible to see, again, in at a time when we hear about economies in trouble, what I see is crowds like I've never seen before. Crowds of tourists, people spending money like I've never seen before.
Shelley, well,
so there's an optimism that I'm feeling.
We'll catch up with you next week. Ladies and gentlemen, Ben Buehler-Garcia sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. We'll be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, ladies and gentlemen. Ben Buehler-Garcia sitting in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster. Hey, listen, if you're not sure which plants can survive the Tucson summer, like me, you're just sort of wistfully planning ahead for your fall gardens, do what Laura and I do and visit the good experts at Green Things. 13 acres of everything you need and a friendly staff with the best advice in town. They're located on River Road, just west of Brandy Fenton Park. While you're there, check out the imported furniture and art at Socolow Village. You can find them on the web at greenthings.com or socolowvillage.com. Don't forget, you can call us at 790-2040. That's the Buckmaster Live Line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. In 1962, President Kennedy proclaimed May 15th as National Peace Officers Memorial Day, and the week during which that day falls is also National Police Week. The mission of National Police Week is to pay special recognition to those law enforcement officers who have given their lives in the line of duty. Joining us today on the Buckmaster Show is Sherry Graham Parter. Sherry is the surviving spouse of Pima County Deputy Timothy Graham, whose end of service date was August 10th, 2005. Sherry, welcome to the Buckmaster Show.
Hi, Ben. Thank you so much for having me.
So it's kind of lonely in the studio here today. Shelley's in Italy and you're in Washington. Sherry, what are you witnessing? What are you participating in there in Washington with National Police Week?
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's been a very busy week for us. My husband and I participated in We do a three-day ride from Roanoke, Virginia, into National Police Week. We sort of kick off the week, and we do it to raise some funds for a organization that we are both very passionate about. It's called Concerns of Police Survivors, and they are an organization that supports survivors from the day they lose their officer until the day they no longer care to be supported. It is such an amazing organization, and we are so proud to represent it. And what we do with this ride every year is we raise funds to send the children of fallen officers to a camp in Wisconsin every year where they can get some much-needed counseling, support, and healing, and also be around their peers who know exactly what they're going through. So it's an amazing week. We are so happy to be here, and as crazy as it gets, I'm really proud to be spending my 16th year at National Police Week.
Wow. And there's lots of other activities that are taking place during the week. I know there's like a candlelight vigil and some other things going on. What, Sherry, this is definitely going to have to be a guesstimate, but how many law enforcement personnel and families do you think actually show up there in Washington for National Police Week? Is it thousands, tens of thousands?
Yeah, about 30,000 people, we estimate.
Okay. And there are also like seminars and chances for people like you who are the surviving spouses to interact and sort of help each other out, right?
Absolutely. Concerns of Police Survivors puts on many seminars, like you were saying, seminars and programs for every level of survivor, co-workers, survivors. They've really gotten into supporting the co-workers who lost an officer. And these are really amazing starts, especially for the new families that are here. The way I viewed it the year that I went back to Police Week was, this is the start of my recovering and the start of my learning what my new normal is going to look like and how I'm going to move forward in a healthy way and how I'm going to help my children move forward in a healthy way. And so that's how I always look at this event.
Now, you were joined out there by Chris, your husband, who is one of my favorite Tucson police officers because he flies the helicopter. Hint, hint, I'm just throwing that out there. And my understanding is Chief Casmar brought a whole delegation out there. Is Chris there in the room? We can chat with him about that?
He's sitting right next to me. He would love to.
All right.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, Chris, I'm just swell. Thanks for joining us here. My understanding from Sherry said is you've got a pretty strong contingent from Tucson out there at Police Week that Chief Casmar organized or voluntold to go. How many officers have you got out there, and what are they participating in?
Yeah, so no voluntolling here.
Okay.
It is all volunteer for sure. And it's an incredibly beneficial program, not only for the officers entering the program and coming back here, but for the information that they bring back to the rest of the department and the wellness and wholeness that they get from experiencing something like this. There's actually a waiting list to participate in the program already for next year. And so it is true, Chief Kazmar was the flame that really got this going. Now, Sherry and I have been coming out here and doing this for 14 years, and so there were many years there where she and I were doing it by ourselves, trying to get somebody else from the department to participate, and it's in full gear now, and we had 25 come back. So there were 19 riders that participated in the Law Enforcement United Ride, 19 officers, and five motor officers that came back and assisted in the escort.
Chris,
so a pretty large contingency from the Tucson Police Department, which obviously shows the amount of commitment and the value that Chief Kazmar sees in this program.
Chris, my objective here today is to introduce you and Sherry and your comrades to all the Buckmaster Show listeners out there who, frankly, don't give much of a thought to what you do every day, and you know, unless they get pulled over or something terrible happens in their lives. And you know, I've heard very often that, you know, the only interaction a civilian has with a police officer, that's generally might be the worst day of their life. So I'd like your perspective on this. Are you familiar with Vinny Montez?
I am not. I'm sorry, I'm not.
Okay, Vinny Montez is a deputy sheriff up in Colorado, and he's turned to stand-up comedy to deal with the situations he sees every day. And he produced a video, I don't know if it was during National Police Week, but a couple of years ago, you can find it on Facebook. It's called You Don't Know Me. And it's just very, very powerful, talking from a sworn officer's perspective about the way you and some of your comrades are treated or looked upon by the civilians out there. And I'd really encourage you to watch it. When I leave the house in the morning, Chris, my wife tells me to be careful, but she doesn't actually worry about me coming home that night. How do you, as the law enforcement partner in that relationship, because I'm guessing sometimes a cop might see something they don't want to or can't talk about, and you've got to have that dynamic with your spouse where she or, you know, they can sense that now's not the time to talk about it. I'm just going to leave you alone. Is that an accurate guess?
That is absolutely one of the facets of the job. So I'm in my 32nd year with the Tucson Police Department as an officer. Many officers, obviously, going out of patrol, had the pleasure of serving the community in which we signed up to serve. But that service includes seeing the worst of the worst, mm-hmm. Whether it be the worst type of criminals or the worst type of accident scenes or the worst type of crime scenes. And so the amount of trauma or the amount of traumatic incidents that officers are repeatedly placed in takes a toll often, right? And we're seeing that in the elevated suicide rates. We're obviously seeing it in the elevated assault rates on officers recently. Just this year alone, we're already at 58 line of duty deaths nationwide, which mm-hmm. equates to about one every 2 days. And that number has to stop. Being back here at National Police Week, bringing attention to the fact that so many officers, now we're above 27,000 officers in the United States whose names are etched on the wall back here, that paid the ultimate sacrifice. And it's not just those 27,000 officers. It's the hundreds of thousands of family members and coworkers and sons and daughters and moms and dads and aunts and uncles and entire family trees that feel that loss. Right, so it's not just a community that loses an officer when an officer gives his or her life in the line of duty. It's the entire nation that loses the officer, and there's no more gravitational pull than National Police Week back here when you see it front and center.
Chris, absolutely well spoken. Now, you probably recognize you're the bonus guest here. So when we come back after this break, I want you to put Sherry back on. if that will work out. Ladies and gentlemen, Ben Buehler-Garcia sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. If you'd like to give us a call on the Rincon Ventures Property Management Real Estate Line, that number is 790-2040. The average citizen experiences 4 to 5 truly traumatic events in their lifetime. The average cop, over 700 over a 20-year career. Stick around. We'll be back with more.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ben Buehler-Garcia sitting in for Bill Buckmaster. Hey, listen, it's starting to warm up. It's a perfect time to plan your summer visit to our friends over at Silver City, New Mexico. Silver City sits at 6,000 feet elevation, so it's just naturally cooler. It's also in the heart of the beautiful Gila National Forest. Lots of outdoor adventures. Silver City is also a small town with a big culture. So you want to check that out. Start your planning now. It's just a short 3-hour drive from Tucson. You can plan a weekend getaway by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. We're back with Sherry Graham Potter. We're talking about National Police Week. If you weren't aware of that, that is a national series of events that takes place nationwide, centered in Washington, D.C. Sherry and her husband, Chris, are out there along with at least 26 officers from the Tucson Police Department. Sherry, Chris mentioned a figure that I want to emphasize. So last year, we had 136 officers die in the line of duty. Thankfully, that's a 39% reduction over the 2022 numbers. But as he mentioned, so far this year, there's been 25 in the month of April alone. If that trend continues, we're not looking at a good year. And one of my concerns, Sherry, there are cases where officers are struck by a vehicle, or in the case of Tucson Police Department Officer Adam Buckner, who was killed here on March 31st, an automobile crash. But the leading category right now is deaths from gunfire. And that caused me some real concern.
I was looking over the numbers before I called into you, and I had that same reaction. Because traditionally and historically, automobile accidents were the number one killer of officers, but the number of officers killed by gunfire is so significantly more this year, and it was last year as well. And that trend is not going to change unless we start changing it.
And how do we do that, Sherry?
Well, I think it's so multifaceted, but I think that it boils down to, and this is something that I have tried to advocate for, we need to go back to a country who respects the rule of law. We need to start respecting our officers on the street. We need to teach our children to respect the law enforcement officers in this country. Their job is hard enough, and now it's almost as if they're being hunted, and it terrifies me. It terrifies me for these men and women. These are moms and dads and daughters and sons and people who mow their lawn on Sundays, and we have somehow transitioned them into the enemy in so many ways, and we need to make a lot of changes in this country.
So you and I both know a young man by the name of Dave Bray, who very often performs at the police week activities. He's a real patriot, a very talented musician. And I know in one of the conversations I had with him, he did say that. He says, you know, people, they just see the badge and automatically assume that that's the bad guy. And we've got to change that, because these are, you know, as I mentioned to Chris, I mean, when I leave the house in the morning, my wife doesn't worry about me necessarily coming home safe. And that's, yes, we need to figure out a way to humanize those people behind the badge. You know, what are they on the weekends? You know, coaching the soccer team or whatever it might be. That's and you're right. I didn't mean to put that responsibility on you, Sherry, because the responsibility is on all of us, particularly the civilian community out there, to start changing those trends and talking about it and educating, particularly the children out there, so we can get back to a generation that has some respect.
Oh, absolutely. And I think one thing that people don't understand is the chaos that would ensue if every police officer in 24 hours decided they were not going to go to work. This country would devolve into chaos in which nobody could ever even imagine. And these people hold the fabric of our societies together, yet people want to tear them. They are the most scrutinized, demonized people out there because of the job that they're taxed to do. And unfortunately, with social media and the ability to film and to edit things so easily and then put it out there on social media, it just becomes the only thing we're seeing is the slip-ups or the edited version of an event that people don't really get to see to fruition and see the entire context of things going on. There are things that our military and police officers have to do to keep order that we probably don't need to know about. Unfortunately, we know about too much now, and it's so easy to take out of context and not understand how important it is that they take care of things the way that they're trained.
Sure, you make such a great point. I hadn't thought, when I came to the U of A to study criminal justice in 19... there weren't body cameras. We weren't all carrying a computer with a video camera around in our pocket. And you're right, I hate the phrase fake news, but you know, you're right, that editing, and of course it takes off like wildfire. And next thing you know, people are down there protesting something that never really, really happened. Sherry, I want to, you know, we talked about humanizing the families behind the badge. So I've got a friend who's just retired as a law enforcement officer. And one of the jokes that he and his wife had to just kind of lighten things, you know, he always used to ask her, you know, does this shirt make my gun look fat? And it's kind of that, you know, sort of gallows humor that, that maybe permeates it. But, you know, as a law enforcement spouse, we're talking a lot of cold dinners, a lot of missed special events, because it truly is a career of service.
Oh, absolutely. It's funny that you said that, because we were just sort of talking about gallows humor, and we have sort of the same banter in our family. And it's true. We did so many holidays, not actually on the holiday, because Chris was working. And when he was in SWAT, his SWAT pager would go off, and sometimes the kids would just be so bummed out. We were walking out the door to dinner or something, and you get used to functioning in that, but it is very, very different than a traditional family with a 9-to-5 dad who comes home and you know, has dinner with the family. But you learn to live with that, and you learn to work around those challenges.
Is there something, you know, you mentioned concerns of police survivors, which I know you're very active with, and I'm sure there's other support organizations out there. Is there a curriculum or a support group or something, Sherry, that, you know, when you marry the badge, someone is willing to take you aside and say, okay, look, here's what to expect. Here's some ways to deal with it.
Oh, I wish there were. You know, I don't know of any. I really don't know of any of those, but I think that would be wonderful, because it's a challenge on both sides. And being a law enforcement spouse, there's a certain strength that you either have or you learn to have, because you never know what's going to happen. It's very, very different. And it's often kind of surprising to new spouses. And so I think you're really onto something there, Ben. I think that would be great. I get a lot of support as a spouse that lost an officer, but I had only been an officer's wife for 5 weeks when Tim was killed. And so I learned to be an officer's spouse pretty much more with Chris over the last 17 years that we've been together. So I love that idea. And I would love to spearhead something with that, because I think it would be really helpful, because that is very challenging.
Well, you heard it first here on the Buckmaster Show. Sherry, let's talk when you get back, because I'd love to be involved in something like that as well. Now you touched on this. You were a two-time law enforcement spouse and one who unfortunately experienced pretty much the worst thing that a law enforcement spouse could experience. We got just a couple of minutes left. What, if there's any other families out there listening, Sherry, what would be your 1, 2, 3 suggestions for them?
I think the most important is open communication between spouses. I think they both protect them. They have the desire to protect each other from things they're going to, because they both know their spouse's job is so difficult. And for the community, go and talk to an officer. If you see an officer out, talk to them. Ask them questions. Ask them about their family. Thank them for what they do. I say this every time I can. Thank them for what they do. You have no idea how much that means to them. And on the very end, teach your children respect for law enforcement officers. They're the good guys. If your child is in trouble, find the good guy. And that good guy is wearing a badge.
Yeah. Yeah, and I tell you, you know, and keep in mind, you know, every once in a while we're gonna get pulled over. You might have a taillight out, you might have had a little bit of a lead foot, and you're gonna be angry. But just remember that police officer who pulled you over might have been coming from a traffic accident where an infant was killed, and you know, and just be. Well, that's a whole nother show, Sherry. Thank you so much for joining us today, you guys, and you know. I'm glad for what you're doing out there. I'm glad for the delegation that's out there in Washington. And please, you know, consider me always available to you and your family and your comrades' families as an advocate.
Ben, thank you so much. It's always an honor to speak to you.
All right. Have a great ride. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us today on the Buckmaster Show. I'll be back Tuesday and Thursday of next week. We've got some other very interesting guests coming up for you. Don't forget, you can find the archived episodes of this program and others at buckmastershow.com. Have a good day. Take care.